Today we got with us our Powell County PVA, Dustin Billings, and we'd like to thank Dustin for taking time out of his schedule to come and be with us. And we're going to talk a little bit today about exactly what the PVA office is and what all functions it performs. So, Dustin, if you want to introduce yourself and just tell a little bit about yourself, we'll kind of dig into it.
All right. I'm Dustin Billings. I'm married to Lisa Billings. Got a son, Tanner, 11 years old, and try to work and farm as much as I can.
Dustin, it's kind of, a good sequence. We had you here today. In the previous few episodes, we'd talked with both Darlene Drake and Robert King, and their office is a little bit like yours in that the funding mechanism's a little different than the other elected offices. And in what we're trying to say there, that a lot of your salary and position is kind of dictated and derived from state level. So did you give a little explanation how that's different than some of the offices such as myself or sheriff or clerk or whatever?
It sure is. It's mainly a state office, but it's a locally elected office. So The state has a huge amount of oversight in my office. I mean, they come in and they audit me every year. They do performance audits yearly on us. Our funding is based, of course, the county provides us with an office and electricity and phones, but mainly our salaries are paid for through the state and through the state portion. So we're kind of like you said, Darlene and Robert, we're an odd office for the county.
Kind of neat. You'd mentioned there, kind of considered state officer, and that's kind of actually been a debate that's been going on for several years, kind of state and county. And that's what I say, you are unique in that, I guess, you're considered a state employee, kind of an employee of the Department of Revenue, yet, like I said, our local people elect you. So you kind of have both hats.
Yeah, we fall under the executive umbrella of the state. So we fall under it, and we're kind of held to those guidelines that they're held to. So it's an odd office, and there has been talk between whether we're county or whether we're state. But I think there was a court case a few years back that pretty much determined we're a state office.
So. I think you're right, back in 68 or somewhere in there. But I guess, I started out and I used the acronym PVA. I mean, we take for granted, that's one of the things we want to do this show. I think we as elected officials take for granted that the people we serve know exactly what that is or what we do. So we might want to start out take for granted that everybody knows what that acronym stands for.
Well, it stands for Property Valuation Administrator. And we basically handle the tax roll for the county and the state. We're responsible for changing owners on deeds, reassessing property on a yearly basis, handling the motor vehicle tax roll, the boat tax roll, trailer tax roll. We're responsible for all that stuff. So it's a bunch of different hats.
And I guess that relates directly back in essence to what the county clerk and sheriff does. Without your job, I mean, when they start preparing taxes and stuff, so it's very intertwined with the functions of those offices as well.
It sure is. When you get your tax bill, and I know a lot of people don't like that, but when you get your tax bills, there's basically two parts of it. One's the assessment, which I'm responsible for, and the other is the tax rates, which the fiscal court, the school board, and the other districts are responsible for. So when you're looking at your tax bill, it's there's two components to it.
Of course, talking about some of the things you mentioned there, did you say annually you had to evaluate every piece of property?
Yes, the Constitution states that we're supposed to put 100% fair cash value on a piece of property every year. So, but we're only required to go out and reevaluate stuff every 4 years. But if things come to our attention, we're supposed to do it on a yearly basis.
And actually, I guess people kind of wonder, that's very important in that, you know, if you have some economic growth in the community, naturally your tax base can increase without, you know, revenue. So you play a vital part in actually helping potentially keep people from having to incur
exactly. We go out and we collect the new property that's been put on, and that's one of the main things that we do is and of course we don't have zoning in the county, so we have to go actually physically go out and find it. A lot of people don't come in. You're supposed to come in and report your property every year on a yearly basis to the PVA. Most people don't do that, but I'd like to see more people start doing that. And they can actually give us the value of it, what they think the fair cash value is.
Of course, you kind of hit, and I've always been a proponent of zoning, but here is another instance of where it would be beneficial to everybody, whereas I always see it's a negative, but it would probably help your office get more fair assessments, and thus would our tax base would probably be
would increase,
and it wouldn't be on everybody's backs necessarily.
It would allow us to know where the new properties are without. There has been times that it's been years that new property hasn't been found because we're only supposed to, like I said, physically inspect a piece of property every 4 years. So it could basically be every 4 years that something new's not found if it's not reported.
And I may put you on the spot a little bit here, Dustin. You may or may not know this right off the top of your head, but do you have any idea in counties that have zoning versus counties that don't, how that usually typically percentage it potentially affects property values off the top of your head?
I don't know. I don't have a percentage or nothing like that, but I know with zoning, you're pretty much 100%. You know, because the electric company, the water company, a lot of those vital functions, you can't get those without that zoning permit. So, yeah, I mean, zoning would help in that instance.
And then I guess you kind of mentioned it there. When you all do these inspections, I guess the other thing it would want change, like you said, if that piece of property changes use from, say, an agricultural area to a business or something, that definitely changes.
That would definitely change the value. I'd like to tell everybody about the ag value. I'm a big proponent of it, and it's a value that if you own a farm, you farm it, you get a huge discount on your taxes. So you've got to come in and fill out a form for us, and we've got to review your farm. But if you've got a piece of property and you're farming it and you're not getting ag value, come see me. There's some caveats to it. You've got to have more than 10 acres and it's got to be a farm, and you've got to have certain, you know, now it's going to come to where you have to have your Schedule F and provide it to us, because it's become an issue in Fayette County and some of the urban areas where some of those residential tracts greater than 10 acres were getting ag value, which was a huge discount. And of course, it affected the funding for the districts.
So. Actually, it was going contrary to what the law was set up for. It was benefiting a residence versus somebody actually using it for the agricultural purpose.
Yes.
I know we kind of talked a little bit of off-air there, Dustin, and kind of in relation to what you're talking to there. There's other things, ways your office can be a benefit. The Homestead Act is directly related to what you do, and definitely probably want to explain that to the folks.
Yes. If you're 65 or older, and you own your house and you live in it, reside in it more than 6 months, it's your permanent residence. If you come in, sign up, takes you less than 2 minutes, you get, this year it's $37,600 off your assessment. So basically, if you had $100,000 or $137,000 piece of property, your tax bill would only be $99,400. So you save, it's about $240 based on last year's tax rate is what it saves you if you come in and sign up for it. And we also have disability. If you're 100% permanently disabled, and it's the same restrictions, you've got to own your property, it's got to be your permanent residence. If you can bring your award letter into us and sign up, you get the same benefit as someone over 65.
That's very good things to know. And of course, one thing we've tried to do when we've interviewed the other elected officials too, and just trying to streamline or make it more efficient for somebody that had a question or a problem in relation to these kind of items, what are some of the common people you have come to your office that should be at another office, you know, that I guess in trying to direct them to the right places?
We have a lot of people come in to file deeds at our office. Of course, you file deeds in the county clerk's office. We have a lot of people come in and actually try to pay their taxes there. And you pay that in the sheriff's office before the deadline, and then after the deadline, you go to the clerk's office. So taxes and deeds are two of the main things that people come into my office to try to do.
Kind of in that same vein, then, I guess, what kind of people, like you said, we've named naturally two of them, the people that's seeking to have their agriculture value placed on their land or homestead. What other kind of things is your office, on a daily basis, would people come to see you for?
They come to see us to get... We're working on our mapping, which is our parcel boundary for our owner information, and it's always a work in progress because every year it changes based on what deeds come through. But we're getting it pretty good. But a lot of people come in and kind of check out their property boundaries and see what their property lines are. And a lot of times we have people come in and they tell me what their property boundaries are, because we don't know, because their deed may have been an old descriptive deed that went to the Jones farm and then to the Hall farm, and we don't know where the Jones or the Halls live. So they come in, they help us out with the boundaries, and it's been very, we've had a lot of people come in, and I wish more people would come in, just kind of look at their property and say, hey, that's not mine or that is mine. So it would help us out a tremendous amount.
One thing that it probably people don't necessarily associate with your office or any PVA for that matter, but I know in our instance, numerous times with road projects or with dispatch problems and mapping, y'all are a vital resource. You have a lot of good images and things that help in our CAD system and things that dispatch, so you're a very integral part of that process as well.
Yes, we fly the county. We have an aerial company fly over the county. We try to do it every 2 years. It's very costly, but it provides us with a lot of good information, a lot of data that we can use in our office. And you were talking about right-of-ways. I mean, we have a lot of, the state comes in, a lot of engineering firms come in to get ownership information. Realtors, appraisers, we see appraisers on a daily basis. So if you're refinancing your home or using your home or using a business, we see those guys on a daily basis that come into our office.
Dustin, you touched on a good point there. And one of the things I failed to do when we was kind of talking about the things or requirements for your office, and one thing I really like about the PVA's office and circuit clerk's office is the fact that you have to test to become a candidate for those. And I think every elected officer ought to have some kind of aptitude test. And when you mentioned appraisals, mm-hmm. I know that's part of that test. So you might want to take the time to explain to people some of the things such as testing is required for you to even obtain this office.
Yes, the clerk, the circuit clerk and the PVA are the only two offices you have to take a test for. And the circuit clerk, from my understanding, is specific to the office, and there's actually a manual you can get, but the PVAs, there's no manual. When I went and took it, and after I walked out of the class, I didn't know what I'd taken a test for. So it's a general aptitude test that's kind of detailed. They say it's a second or third year college level type test, but I mean, I did. If I'd have walked out of there, I couldn't have told you what I was taking a test for. So, but it's given in November prior to – it'll be given this November prior to the election year, as will the circuit clerks. And it's a test. So. Yeah.
But I wanted to mention that because I think that's something that makes y'all unique. And that's I think those two offices have it right, and I think y'all are –
yes.
think that's a good thing. So I wanted to – didn't want to – leave that out.
Yes, when you're in office and you look at the judge's office and the jailer's office and the sheriff's office and the clerk's office, they deal with a very, very, very big budget, very huge numbers and stuff. You'd hope that they have the aptitude and the knowledge to take care of that office.
And that kind of segues us in, I guess, even in your time in office, and we failed to mention how long you'd served in that capacity, but I'm sure, that's what I said, and we talked with this Darlene, kind of talking about the testing, but the requirements now, the technology and the things, ways things are evolving that change the way you do your job, and you might just speak to some of the technological advances you've saw since you've been there and that are coming down the road that'll help assist you in your job.
Well, I talked about the aerials, and GIS is becoming huge. It's a huge factor in not just my job, but every government function, from road planning to bridge design to everything that's going on. GIS seems to have a hand in it, and that stands for Geographical Information Systems. And it's just what it amounts to is it's a whole lot of data. It's data that people can sort through and use and read and try to gain a little perspective from what they have in front of them. So.
If you want to speak a little bit, some of the things you've took and done since you've been in office there and some things you're proud of that you've accomplished.
Well, we've acquired a GIS program, and we've started the aerial, doing the aerials every couple of years. And we did have an online website, and I'm sorry to say I had to take that down. It got breached, and some information got stolen. So I made the decision to take the website down, and just some of that information. It wasn't any personal information, but it's stuff that we sell in order to finance our office and finance the GIS project and the aerial project. And I really didn't have a whole lot of complaints. I've not had any local complaints take it down. Most people who need anything, they come in my office anyway locally. All the banks, appraisers, real estate people, I've not heard one word from them, from any local local citizen.
Fellas, I think we're running out of time for today, but that's all right. If everybody can tune in again tomorrow to Bridging the Gap, we'll have a continuation with PVA Dustin Billings. Tell us a little bit more about the office and things that are coming in the future.